Brethren, I've been delighted to be here with you, and I look out at your faces, and I've met more and more of you, and your spirits have refreshed my spirit. I've enjoyed looking into your eyes and seeing the love of Christ, and there's no place I would rather be than here. Beloved, God has not forgotten to be gracious. He is gracious still, as I full well know with my experience in the recent past. And in our psalm, we'll be in Psalm 77 today. You know, in many of the psalms, the psalmist begins crying out to God in distress and perhaps with doubts, being perhaps in a dark place in regards to God. But then, as in this psalm, the sun rises. It's got three stanzas in it. And in the second stanza, the sun begins to rise in the psalmist's mind. And he begins to remember the years before. He begins to remember how God had been gracious to the people of Israel in that time. He begins to remember how God had been gracious to him. I'll tell you something that I do personally. I started doing it a couple of years back as I started journaling. And I started actually writing down the things that God was doing in my life, whether good or bad. I should say good or good. Good or difficult, because all things work together for good. And so I begin to write those things down. And the primary reason I begin to do that is because I begin to forget. Something would happen in my life, and then I would forget the kindness that God showed me in the recent past. And why was I shrouded in doubt or in distress in my present circumstances, and I hadn't remembered how God was gracious to me previously? And God had been gracious to me so often. And the psalmist expresses that. This passage was so helpful to me. When I first read it, I thought, wow, this is a very depressing song. And I read the questions of the psalmist, because in the middle of the psalm, he asks these six questions. And at first I thought the psalmist is praying these questions. But then I looked again, and it was as if the psalmist was simply talking to himself, and he was speaking within his own heart. And at first I thought, these are not the questions you should be asking. But then, as I looked again and the Lord helped me to meditate upon it, it appeared to me that these were necessary questions to bring him back to remember how God had been so gracious to him in his life. And so read it with me. Psalm 77. Let me pick this up here and hope my notes don't fly away. The psalmist writes, I cried to God. This is a psalm of Asaph. I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I thought about that for so long. Beloved, how could we remember God and be troubled? But the psalmist writes, I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. And so ends the first stanza. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. And so the psalmist speaks of being sleepless and speechless. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. Here's those six questions. Will the Lord cast off forever? And we know the answers to these questions, don't we? And will he be favorable no more? Has his mercy ceased forever? Has his promise failed forevermore? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he that is God, hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. You know, we look around us in our nation, we look around us in our communities, we look around us in our government, we look around us all around in the world, and it's easy to ask these questions. It's easy to look at these things, and it's easy to be on the despairing side of these questions. But I don't really think that's where the psalmist was. I think in this second stanza, I think he began to recover himself. And I think that's true because look at verse 10. After he asked these questions, he says, "And I said, this is my anguish if I'm questioning God's mercy, his tender mercies, if I'm questioning his grace. The problem is not God. The problem is me. The problem is remembering. Hence, beloved, I'll go back in my journal. I pick my journal up often and I go back and I read what God has done. I've had some really good things to write in my journal lately, as we talked about last night. But he said, this is my anguish. But I will, look at these, I will remembers. I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders, O my heavenly Father of old. I will also meditate on all your work." Beloved, so often we get our eyes fixed on, that's why I don't watch the news a whole lot. I get aggravated. Beloved, when we start concentrating on the turmoil, the tumult, the hatred for Christ in the world, it can cast us down. But the psalmist said, "I will also meditate on all your work." And I won't talk about the things that are going on in the world, and I won't get immersed in all that. He says, "And I will talk of your deeds. I will talk of your way, O God. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God?" Our brother just said, God is great. Who is so great a God as our God? Beloved, we serve the one living and true God and his Son, Jesus Christ. And he is seated and he is reigning right this moment. He's reigning now. Beloved, don't ever forget those truths that the Lord Jesus Christ reigns now. Yes, there's tumult in the world, and yes, there's turmoil, and yes, there are communities that are in shambles, beloved, but our God reigns. And listen, if you're in Christ, he's seated on the throne of your heart. The kingdom of God is within you. And never forget that, beloved. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We're more than conquerors in Christ. We are those that overcome the world. We overcome those things. We don't immerse ourselves in those things. We are overcomers. You are the God who does wonders. Beloved, we must still believe that. We must be believers. You know, oftentimes I think to myself, and I tell our folks at home, I say, you know, we know a lot about God, but how much of what we know do we believe? How much of what we know do we embrace and possess and own it as ours, that our God's given us this wonderful salvation that we have? You are the God that does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have, with your arm, redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. So ends the second stanza. In the final stanza, God puts on display for us to remember, and I like to call this portion of the psalm, God shows off his artillery. I'm a military guy, so I like that. He talks about the creation. He talks about the waters. He talks about the depths. He talks about the whirlwind. He talks about the thunder. They are at his command. And the creation and the elements obey God perfectly. Notice, the waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you. They were afraid. I remember when Moses stood on the brink of the Red Sea. And the Red Sea was still right there. And Moses turned around and the people were doubting God. Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of our God. Your God will fight for you. And Pharaoh and his chariots were behind that pillar of fire. And the people doubted God. And Moses cried out to God. Well, he cried out and he told the people, he said, don't doubt your God. And in Exodus 14:13, I think it is, in that time, Moses uttered a secret prayer to God. We know that because the Lord said to Moses in that moment, he says, why are you crying unto me? He said, go forward. And Moses turned around, and that's when he put his staff in the water, and the waters trembled. The waters were driven back. The waters saw you, O God, and they were afraid. The depths also trembled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Your arrows also flashed about you. The voice of your thunder was in the whirlwind. The lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook at the voice of God. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. It might be difficult to enter into this psalm, perhaps if you've not experienced troubles like the psalmist, but I would think probably you've been in those places. At the beginning of the psalm, I want you to notice that the psalmist cried out audibly. He cried out aloud with his voice. I don't know if I shared with any of you. When I pray, I need to pray aloud when I'm by myself so that I'm not distracted. It's not that I can't pray in silent, but I have to cry aloud. It helps me to focus my attention on my God. And so he says, I cried out to my God with my voice, to my God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. So he's stretching his hand out to the Lord. He repeats, I cried out to the Lord with my voice. And I think here God's teaching us when we can't pray quietly to pray out loud. Lift up your voice, cry unto God audibly. But even after Asaph prayed aloud, he lifted up his voice. His spirit did not lift, it seems. He was not encouraged initially. Instead of being comforted in prayer, he refused to be comforted. He says that here in the beginning stanza of this psalm. He had no rest in his spirit. He was troubled in his mind, and it continued into the night. He remembered God here. He says in verse 3, I remembered God and was troubled. He says, I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. We know Psalm 61 tells us, when your heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And so the psalmist found himself in this place. As he prayed in the initial beginning of the psalm, it seems that things got worse in his mind. He remembered God's love, God's mercy, God's kindness, God's long-suffering, God's faithfulness, God's goodness toward him, and that should have rejoiced his spirit. But he says, I remembered God and I was troubled. Beloved, when we find ourselves immersed in troubles like this, when we find ourselves in a situation where we're having difficulty believing God, we're having difficulty in our minds, wrapping our minds around our God, and we're in unbelief, and our thoughts of God are troubling to us, beloved, we must not stay there. And that's how the first song, the first stanza ends. But that's when he began to recover. He began to recover himself in the second stanza. He couldn't sleep. He couldn't speak. And then he began to consider the days of old, the ancient times. He began to remembrance his song in the night, those sweet times in the presence of his God. And then those questions. Will the Lord cast off forever? We know the answer to that question. No, he won't. Lamentation says the Lord will not cast off forever. God will never leave you nor forsake you, beloved. And that's for you to believe. That's for you to embrace by faith. So the Lord, no, he won't cast off forever. Will he be favorable no more? I've thought thoughts like that. But I think the psalmist here is beginning to recover from his unbelief. He says, has his mercy ceased forever? Psalm 36 says, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy faithfulness is new every morning." Lamentations 3, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Beloved, we awoke to a new morning, to a new sun, to a new day." Same sun, new day. And God's mercies, His faithfulness is refreshed this day for us. God has not, He's not forgotten us, beloved. He's not forgotten us in the world. He will not cast us off. His mercy has not ceased. Psalm 103, let me read to you what Psalm 103 and verse 11 says, and then Psalm 108. Psalm 103 and verse 11. He says, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those that fear Him." I would tell you, if you're lost today, would you enter into that mercy? Would you enter into that grace? Would you come to a God who is full of grace, full of compassion, full of mercy? God has not forgotten to be merciful. God has not forgotten to save. He has not forgotten His tender mercies. Psalm 108, look back there, back up to Psalm 108. Psalm 108 and verse 4. Psalm 108 and verse 4, "Your mercy is great above the heavens, and Your truth reaches to the clouds." God is not just merciful, He's plenteous in mercy, my brothers. So His mercy has not ceased forever. Has His promise failed forevermore? Has any of God's promises failed? No. You know, I was telling a brother this morning, you know, I used to think in my heart and my mind concerning my son and concerning my other children, I want to die believing that He'll save them. You know, our God's going to return. In 2 Peter, he says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise." God's promises will not fail. God is not able to lie. God is not a man that He should lie. He's not the Son of Man that He should repent. "Hath He said, and shall He not do it?" Yes, beloved, God loves to be reminded about His promises. When we pray, God loves for us to tell Him, "Father, You said this, and so please, Father, hear me. You promised this, Father. And so I call upon You." No, the Lord's promise has not failed. God has not forgotten to be gracious. Psalm 86 and verse 15, just turn over there. If you have your Bible, Psalm 86 and verse 15. The book of the Psalms, 86 and verse 15. "But You are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and not just merciful, but abundant in mercy and in truth." Psalm 103 and verse 8. Psalm 103 and verse 8. Psalm 103 and verse 8. The psalmist writes, "The Lord is merciful, full of mercy." He's merciful. Let us never forget that. He's gracious. He's slow to anger. My goodness, I thought about that. You know, so often we get angry quick. We heat up quick. You know, we see what some of the beloved sinners in our lives do, and it hurts us when we see that, and we get angry, and we're not slow to anger. Our God is long-suffering, means long-spirited. He forbears. He's patient, and He's merciful. He's full of mercy, slow to anger, abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. He's not punished us, not even a half of what we deserve, beloved. Again, Lamentations 3, it is of the Lord's mercies that I will say, I am not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Listen, if you're lost today, I would tell you, if you're not a Christian today, if you've not believed on Christ, you are in the best place you could be right now. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. When is that? It's like right now. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. If you're lost, there's probably 50 souls that could speak to you about Christ. Like Philip, you can open the scriptures and they can preach unto you Jesus. They can show you the Christ that came to save sinners, not the righteous, but sinners. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Young people, listen to me. It's so important. If you're young, don't think that, oh, I'm going to live a long time. One day I'll be an old man like him. It might not be so. Our lives are but a vapor that appear for a short time and then vanish away. They pass away like swift ships. We know not when we will come to our shoreline. Every one of us, you know, has a shoreline, like the waves that they beat upon the shore. And God says, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. One day, if you're lost, listen, one day, young people, listen to me. One day you're going to come to a day and God's going to say, hitherto shalt thou come, but no further. And it'll be the day of your death. Death is the reality that we must all consider. If you're outside of Christ, death is the reality that you must consider. There is an urgency that you would seek the Lord who is before you this moment. Is before you in the witness of your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, whoever you're here with. You hold the precious word of God in your hands. Listen, I think about those things with regard to the sinners that are in my own personal society, and they're in the best place they could be. And I ask God to help me to be faithful, to not only be a faithful speaking witness to them, but be a faithful living witness to them, to be an example to them, and to show them Christ through how I live my life and how I speak my words and how I react to the difficult situations of life. If you're lost, I implore you, I plead with you, seek ye the Lord. He is full of mercy. But listen, when the sky scrolls back one day, that mercy is going to come to an end in that day when time shall be no more. The time is short. For us who are Christians, the day of your salvation, when you are finally saved, is nearer than when you believed. And so, beloved, hold fast that which you have embraced in Christ. He says, no, God has not forgotten to be gracious. Psalm 145 says, the Lord is gracious, full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good. He's good to all. Even to you, if you're lost, God is good to you. He sends his blessings, his rain on the just and on the unjust. God waters the fields of the wicked like he waters the fields of the saints. God is kind to you. He's good to you. If you're lost, can you not see this wonderful, merciful, good God? Can you not see it in your own fearful and wonderful making, the creation of what God made you? You are his highest, grandest creation. You were made in the image and likeness of God. Beloved, we're the ones that fell. We're the ones that ruined the world. We're the reason for the curse. But now God sent forth that man, that perfect man, that righteous man, that innocent man, that excellent man to die for our sins. And so the psalmist goes back and he he remembers God. He remembers this wonderful God, and he begins to recover himself from his sleeplessness, from his speechlessness. He is able to sleep the sweet sleep of a child of God then. Now he goes back and he says, no, now I remember the days of old. I remember my gracious God. I remember that his promise will not fail. I remember the days of the Most High. And now I will remember his wonders of old. I will remember all of his work. I will meditate upon it. That's going to be what I am going to talk about. Beloved, have you ever considered that? We speak a different language in Christ now. And that's what the psalmist says. I will talk of your deeds. We don't speak the language of the world. We speak the language of Christ. We speak the language of that other world. We're foreigners. We're passing through this world, children of God. When you come into the times like this psalmist came to, when his soul refused to be comforted, it's time to go back into our spiritual journals. It's time to go back and remember the gracious deeds that the Lord has done in your own personal life. It's time to remember what your God has done for your soul. Come and see Psalm 66. My brother read that the other day. Come and see, all ye that fear God, and I will show you what God has done for my soul. Don't ever forget those memorials. Like the children of Israel, they would come out of the River Jordan and they built a memorial. And they said, you go back and tell your children what that memorial means. You come and tell them how God delivered you from the land of Egypt, from the bondage. You tell them that. Well, that was after that. But you tell them how God gave you this land. You tell them what your God has done for you. So after Asaph's struggling and wrestling, he knew that God had not forsaken him. He was now able to detach himself from being overwhelmed and being consumed by his earthly troubles, and to fix his heart and mind by faith on his faithful God, who was always right there by him. I heard somebody say one day, you know, God knows when to show up. And I thought to myself, wait a minute. God doesn't show up. He's always up. God's always there. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer, Christian, your foot to be moved. Behold, that he that keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he that keeps Israel shall not slumber or sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord will protect you from the sun that would scorch you. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will deliver your soul. He will guard you in your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121. So lift up your eyes, beloved. Listen, Paul said in the Colossian letter, if ye be risen with Christ. And listen, if you're in Christ, you're risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections there. Not in this world, beloved. You need to be detached from it. You need to set your affection on those things above. For you are dead. The old you is dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. That's your identity now in Christ. And so the psalmist, I love these I wills, the things that he said, I will do. I will remember the right hand. I will remember my God. And so his heart was fixed. And so how joyfully he proclaimed that he would remember his God. I will open my mouth with praise and I will praise him. I will talk about all that he has done. Beloved, that's what our conversation can be. And listen, I'll tell you, that's what's blessed my soul in this second day, is every one of you that I have gone to talk to. You didn't talk about college football. You didn't talk about the NFL. You didn't talk about politics. You didn't talk about any of that. You wanted to talk about the Lord. You wanted to talk about your gracious God. Even my dear brothers that Tim was telling me about that went into the churches. I mean, I was blessed to hear of the zeal to preach the gospel. And to every one of you that I've spoke, I can honestly tell you that everyone that I've conversed with, and I look at some of your faces and I see you, everyone that I've conversed with, I've experienced the sweetness of God that has come from your souls. It's blessed my soul. Beloved, you have ministered to my soul. And I'm so thankful to my God for that. And I will be able to look back at this experience, this camp, this fellowship. And I will be able to put that in my journal and say, Father, I remember these dear saints of God. How in the book of Philemon, Paul told Philemon, he says, the saints of God have been refreshed by you, brother, and you have refreshed my soul. And so this is such a needful time. It's so good to be detached, to come apart from the world and to immerse ourselves in Christ and to immerse ourselves in fellowship one with another. It's been such a blessing to be here with you. So now Asaph, as he comes out of his psalm, he speaks of the wondrous powers of God and how God is in the thunder and God's in the depths and God's in the water. And I would encourage you to do that. And the Lord's helped me to begin to do that as I look around at the creation. There's always something to see in their creation that's shouting. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament declares his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech and knowledge. Beloved, God is all around us. I think of the trees. The trees grow upward and they're holding their hands up to the heavens and they're praising God for their life. The grass that grows, the green, the life, the pastures. God is all around us, beloved, if we'll see. And I want to have eyes to see what God is showing me. I want to have eyes to see Christ in the Word. I want to have eyes to see the Spirit of Christ in you. I want to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Again, I remember those seven churches. Christ said to the messengers of those churches, he said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. I want to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to me. And beloved, if you come to a place like this, where the Word of God is opened, and as defective as the preacher may be, if he opens up the Word of God, if you have ears to hear, God will speak to you. The God of heaven will speak to you. That's exciting. And listen, I'll close with this. The world talks about, you hear the world talking about privilege. Well, this, your privilege and your privilege. You know who the privileged are? You're the privileged. You're the privileged. Heirs of God, join heirs with Christ. Oh, beloved, worship God today. I look forward to just what's going to come in the fellowship and the conversation of today. You know, if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll give us the desires of our hearts. And when we delight ourselves in the Lord, he makes the desires of our hearts right. So delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. I think that's what the psalmist ended up doing. He delighted himself. He remembered God. And that's why all throughout the Old Testament, you see God would say, remember in Deuteronomy 8 when he says, remember when you get into that good land and God blesses you and you prosper. Don't forget. We forget. No, beloved, remember. I'm kind of a dummy. That's why I journal. And I go back and I read my journal and I'll say, yes, I remember that. I remember that. Yes, that's what the psalmist did. Beloved, enjoy Christ today. Enjoy fellowship one with another. If you're outside of Christ, the enjoyment, the happiness that you see, if you're outside of Christ, is not fabricated. It's not synthetic. It's real and it's otherworldly. It comes from another world. The love of Christ doesn't emanate in this world. It's from another land and it's from that land in heaven. And if you see that happiness and it looks foreign to you, I'll tell you, look harder and see the love of Christ. If you're lost, you're with the best people that you could be with. Turn from your sins to Christ. See that you've sinned against God and you deserve his wrath. You deserve him to thunder upon you. And the best thing for you to do is to run towards that Father and to bow the knee to Christ and to turn from your sins and to believe Christ. He died on that cross, that bloody, cruel cross. He died, suffered, and died on that center cross that Barabbas was going to be on. Here was Barabbas set free. I often wonder after Barabbas was set free, I often wonder if he went back and watched that man that took his place. Well, beloved, that man took your place if you're in Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He died. He was buried. He'll bury your sins. He'll cast them as far out as the east is from the west. So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. And think about this, and I'm finished. So often we remember things that we shouldn't remember. And we'll go back and remember our sins. But God says, your sins and your iniquities I will remember no more. I have no words for it. So he died. He was buried. He rose again the third day. God was delighted with that sweet sacrifice, that perfect sacrifice, the blood of his own son. He rose. He ascended. And he, that man, is seated in the heavens at the right hand of the throne of the majesty on high. He's the king right now. He is reigning. And one day we're going to see him as he is. Behold, when you appear, Father, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And he says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But he says, when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Believe Christ today. Christian, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord today. Sing that scripture song with me. I don't know if you know it. It's Isaiah 55, 6 and 7. It goes like this. And please don't make fun of my singing. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Not just a pardon, abundantly pardon. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They don't fail. They're new every morning. They are new every day. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Pray with me, beloved. Thank you, Father, for who you are. Thank you, Father, that you have not forgotten to be gracious. You have not shut up your tender mercies. Father, you still save sinners. Oh God, I pray that you would save our beloved sinners, our beloved loved ones who are still lost. Oh God, would you bring them to yourself, Father? Draw them with cords of love. Oh Lord, we thank you for this precious psalm. What an encouragement to my soul, Father, when the world is going sideways and when things maybe make no sense and I'm struggling in times of unbelief. Oh, God, may I remember, Father, how gracious, how kind, and how close you are. You are a refuge. You're our strength. You're a very present help in trouble. Help us, Father, rejoice our souls. Father, may the words of our mouths now and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight as we go on about this day. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, and we ask it in the highly exalted name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.